We're in the 9 days, middle of 3 weeks, end of the 3 weeks, heading into Tisha B'Av, and I wanted to learn together with you guys, or maybe an avoda. I like to be, those of you who don't know me, I like to make things practical, come out with something that we can take with us of how we go into specifically Tisha B'Av, and specifically what this time period is all about. I know you probably heard shiurim. But this is something that I've come up with. I'm preparing this year for a new share that I'm going to be giving. I'll give a plug for it. I don't know if that's allowed. I'll probably get in trouble for this. You told people about your share. How do you do that? But I'm giving a share. It's called Chachmei Hadoros, which is going to be discussing different Torahs from the time of the Tanaim all the way to modern day Gedolim, analyzing personalities and their Torah and what their Torah is all about. So I'm right now in the world of like the Tanaim. I'll just tell you like where I'm holding right now. That's a little bit of a problem because it's the end of the summer and I'm supposed to be up until the modern day Gedolim. The Tanaim is the beginning of the share, but that's my problem and hopefully I will be ready for next year. But I want to take you through my perspective based on the perspective of the Tanaim, of what we can take from this time period, how we should view this time period. And I want to just start with the basic sources of what this time period is about. If you look at source number one, and we all know this, again, just Chazara, Chamisha Dvarim, Iroes Avosenu, this is a Mishnah in Tainus. There are five things that happen to our fathers, B'Shivasa B'Tamas. There are five things that happen, V'Chimash V'Chamisha B'Tisha B'Av, and five things that happen at Tisha B'Av. Tremendous, tremendous suffering, tragedies that took place. B'Shivasa B'Tamas, what happened to B'Shivasa B'Tamas? The Ishtabu Aluchos, the Luchos are broken. Abatla Atami, there's no more Korban Tamid. The city of Yerushalayim was surrounded. Vesarif, Apistomos, Ashatorov, Hamid Tzelem Behechal. They burnt the Torah. They put up a Tzelem in the base of in the Koshek Dashim. It wasn't good for Klal Yisrael. Shivasa B'Tamas was not a good time for Klal Yisrael. And of course, you know that what's coming up in the next this week, at the beginning of next week, is Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av, Nigzar al Bosenu Shali Kansula Aretz. We know that the Bible, the Meraglim, we made a mistake. Hashem said we're not going to Eretz Yisrael. That's only the beginning. The beginning of Tisha B'Av starts by the Meraglim. That we're not going to Eretz Yisrael. The Chorav Habayis, Rishon HaBashniyah, the first base of Middash, the second base of Middash is destroyed. But Nirkad Beitar, there's this whole incident that takes place in Beitar that many, many people were killed. Nichra Sha'ir, and the air was plowed. And therefore, we know mishenichnas av nimatim b'simcha, meaning the simcha starts to get decreased already. Shivasa B'Tamas, the beginning of the 3 weeks, we stop doing certain things, and as you get deeper and deeper into the 3 weeks, our simcha decreases, till we get the month of Av, and the Mishnah tells us mishenichnas av nimatim b'simcha. And I want to understand what exactly is this nimatim b'simcha. What is this decrease of joy? What does it mean? What does it mean? And I want to speak specifically here. We're in Hask. To me, I guess it's my first time here. And you're walking in, you think you're like in Disney World, right? It's like the happiest place on earth. It's literally music blasting. Everybody's happy. Everybody's smiling. And if I were to like take somebody who didn't know what this place was and bring here, I'd say, hey, is it Av right now? And they'd be like, maybe like the second half of Av, right? When they're like, if you're done, you know that feeling like Tisha B'Av's over, like, right? And then it's like, oh, we can like breathe again and live again. So like that's what you think, but it's like, it's literally like days before Tisha B'Av. And what does it mean? Mishenichnas Matim B'Simcha. And specifically to you guys, how do I accomplish that? You guys have an amazing, amazing job right now and a responsibility. And the Simcha that you have is an amazing thing that which you're supposed to be bringing to the table right now. But we're also supposed to be Mim'atim B'Simcha. So how do I balance those worlds? What do I do? How specifically do you guys, sitting here in Hask, fulfill Mim'atim B'Simcha? That's what I want to understand. And we know, again, just to go with and the theme of what this time period is, already from Eicha. Eicha makes a reference to this time period, which everybody knows in source number two, that it's talking about Yerushalayim, Golsa Yehuda Me'oni, Mirov Avodah, He Yashva Magayim, Lo Matzah Manoah. It's talking about Yerushalayim is destroyed. Yerushalayim finds no peace. That there's no tranquility, no man, it's unable to rest. Lo Matzah Manoah. Korotfei Sigua Ben Mitzarim. The Yerushalayim is in these narrow places. And what are these narrow places? So Eicha Rabbah tells us many interpretations of what it means. But it's talking about, you want to know what these narrow places are, and I bolded it for you over here in source number 3. Korot fea hisigua bin mitzarim. What does it mean that all the people chase her into the streets? Diyomin da'aka. That it's talking about days that are very hard. Mishiv asa b'tamas atish, about these 3 weeks. Those are called the narrow straits. It's a place of suffering. Shebehem kata meriri matzoi. Kata meriri is a force. It's an evil force that has grips in this time period. I mean, we know that this is a time period that many times many bad things happen. Because of this evil spirit, whatever this means, Kata meriri is present. It's found. This is that time period. And it's a time period that even in Daniel already talks about. When Daniel speaks about the destruction of the Korban, when he's talking about destruction of Yerushalayim, that when he hears about that destruction in source number 4, B'yami Mahem, it was those times, I need Daniel, Ha'isi Mis Abel Shosh Shavuayim, Yamim, I was in mourning for 3 weeks. Right, what are the 3 weeks? These 3 weeks. It's this time period. From Shivasavar Thomas till Tisha B'Av. And he listened to his mourning. Lechem chamudos lo achalti, I didn't eat any bread. Ubasar v'yayim lo bal pi, and meat and wine didn't touch my mouth. V'soch lo sachachti, amilosh lo sachivayim yami. I had no joy, I had nothing. He put himself, so to say, in a place of depression. I would say the complete opposite of Camp Pass. There was no seal. There was no meat. He was mourning. He's like, how can I eat something? The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. The Beis Hashem, that holy place, the Kodesh HaKodashim is destroyed, it's gone, it's finished. He couldn't take it. And that, says Rav Soloveitchik, again, is the purpose of the 3 weeks. The purpose of the 3 weeks is to take us from a normal state of being into the most shocking experience of our lives. That Rav Shachter quotes the Rav in source number 5 when he talks about by B'Svira, he starts to mention the 3 weeks. It talks about the fasting that takes place, the mourning that takes place in the 3 weeks. I mean, this is a famous concept that Rebbeinu B'Svira, Soloveitchik, explained. Sheminog ha'avelos miyudzayim b'tamas ve'elach. That if you want to examine this 3 week period of mourning, what is this 3 week period of mourning about? He says the following thing. It works backwards from normal avelos. How does normal avelos work? How many stages of avelos are there, guys? 3 stages. Well, there's like 4, but let's assume there's the Shiva, the seven days of mourning. Then you have Shloshim, 30 days. And then you have Yod Beis Kodesh, 12 months of mourning. And it gets less strict as you go on, right? The first day is the worst, the Onen, that's like you can't do any mitzvah, so you're really in a state of mourning. That whole first week, you're in Shiva, right? You tear your clothing, you're sitting on the floor. The first 30 days, there's certain halachos that you're not sitting on the floor anymore. You don't wear kriya, but you don't shave. There's other things that we don't do. And then your Beis Kodesh is like you're slowly returning to a normal routine. And the laws become less and less. Says of Soloveitchik, the opposite is true when it comes to the 3 weeks. He says, Shivasa Ratamas, when you come to the beginning of the 3 weeks, there are certain laws that apply. Right, you can't get married, can't get a haircut, but you can still eat meat. And you get to the 9 days, what happens in the 9 days? Can't eat meat, can't drink wine, right? All of these that we know. And then you get to Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is the day of Avelos. You're sitting on the floor, you're not eating anything, you can't function, you can't say hello to somebody else. And it seems from here, from a Soloveitchik, he's telling us that we're supposed to get to a point, seeming of like, I'm building up to this day of like of dread. This day where I can feel, this day where I'm connected to Yerushalayim. Nothing else matters in my life besides Yerushalayim. And it seems to be a very extreme form of mourning, of where we're supposed to be getting. This coming up Sunday, Shabbat Shalom, we have the Shabbos. It's Tisha B'Av, it's a Nidcha. Always makes things easier. It says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, I want to get rid of Tisha B'Av when it's a Nidcha. Like this Sunday, there would be no Tisha B'Av according to Rabbi Yochanan, no fasting. And we'll see maybe why it makes sense in a second, because we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We'll see in a second what that's all about. This form of mourning, I want to say two more pieces of Chazal, and I want to pose a question. This form of mourning is so important, not just for ourselves to be connected. Because that point out, the Gemara tells us an amazing thing. The Gemara says how severe this mourning of Tisha B'Av is. In Source 6, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva was somebody who witnessed the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva Omer. If you work on Tisha B'Av, you don't fast, you don't connect, it doesn't mean working it has. Okay, let me just start. Somebody goes to a normal day of work, and they don't mourn on Tisha B'Av, you're never going to see any good come in your life. No bracha is going to come from that day's work. You think you're going to work, you're not going to get anything from it. The chachamim omrim, somebody who does work and doesn't, it is not misabal al Yerushalayim, you don't mourn Yerushalayim, you're not going to see the simcha of Yerushalayim. And he goes out to quote Psukim. And I bolded the next part, because this is the yisod that we all have to understand, we have to take to heart, and we have to bring with us. Kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim. Anybody who mourns for Yerushalayim, anybody who cares about Yerushalayim, zoche b'ro b'simchasa, you will see its simcha. You'll see it. Not in the future, now you'll see it. Roa achshav, now, b'simchasa. If you don't mourn for Yerushalayim, if you come to Tisha B'Av and you're like, you checked out, you're not going to see the simcha of Yerushalayim. So now what we're saying is, it's not only are we coming to this tremendous day of mourning, but if you don't mourn properly, then what's going to happen? You're not going to see it rebuilt. You're not going to see it simcha. So, it's pretty scary. So what does it mean? What are we supposed to do? And I before I get to my questions, one more chazal. This is where I get into my Chachmi Adoro's class right now. I want to go to one of the Tanayim. I want to see the destruction of Yerushalayim from the eyes of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sees the destruction of the second place of Mikdash. That's it, Chorban. The end of this is like it. You're going to Kalos. Now look at Source 7. This seems to be like, if you want to ask me, like this is a portrayal of what our Avela should be like. But Oseh Shah, think about this. Guys, it's so hard for us to, a hard part of us, for us to mourn, is that we don't understand the Beis HaMikdash. We don't see a Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so those of you who are looking at why this past year, right, we start our year by the Robinson Arch, right? And we ended at the Robinson Arch. So you get to see a little bit of that destruction. But listen to this. But also Shah Nilkada Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was being destroyed. V'haya Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Yoshev v'metzapeh v'chariv k'derech Shah Eli Yoshev v'metzapeh. Rabbi Yochanan saw like what was about to happen. He was sitting and waiting. He just knew the destruction was imminent. He says he's like sitting and waiting like Eli. Skip to the end of the second line. Kevan Sheshama Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When the word got to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, she hichrev es Yerushalayim. The Yerushalayim is destroyed. V'sarav es beis hamikdash ve'esh, and the beis hamikdash was destroyed with fire. Kara begadav, v'karu talmidav es bigdehem, v'yu bochim v'tzokim v'sofim. They tore their garments. They sat. They cried. They screamed. They were broken. They couldn't function. This seems to be the type of mourning that we're supposed to have. At Tisha B'Av, that we're supposed to build up during this whole 3-week process, again, which culminates on Sunday, with us feeling this pain, and that's all very nice, and I'm sure we all know this, and not giving you any chidushim. But I want to discuss a very big challenge, which I know that I have, and I know that other people have. Well, A is like, how do you do that here, right? It's hard for us in general to mourn the Beis HaMikdash. How much more so here? And I think there's a mistake that a lot of us make. I don't know if you feel this. There's a lot of times when we come to mourning that even if we do it properly, we become very broken people. That we like absorb ourselves into this world of death, a brokenness, destruction, and we get stuck there. We get stuck there. We get to the place and we can't leave it. And it breaks us. And the Hasidim tell us, we can't ask, spoken to Judah. And the Hasidim tell us, the Hasidim HaKadosh tell us, a very interesting yisod. That wasn't mean, Mishin Nichnas Ab, Mim Atim B'Simcha. And this is an incredible yisod which I would like to discuss, and I want to see how the Tanayim tell us this yisod. What does it mean, Mishin Nichnas Ab, Mim Atim B'Simcha? It means that when you enter into Av and you're mim'atin, you're lessening your joy and you're focusing on tragedy, there's a very important element that is included in that statement. And that's the last word, b'simcha. That when a person is focusing on Yerushalayim, when a person is focusing on the destruction of Yerushalayim and you're mim'atin, it has to be done b'simcha. What does that mean? How do I lessen my joy and do it in joy? What does that mean? And I want to tell you what I think it means. There's a focusing on destruction that destroys you, which I mentioned before, that breaks you. And there's a certain type of destruction that builds you, that allows you to become a greater person, a stronger person. And I think when we come to Tisha B'Av, we focus on death. You focus on destruction, but that's not the goal. The goal is not to go to a place of destruction and sit in the place of destruction and to not move it to become paralyzed. Because it's so easy for that to happen. The goal is to go there, to realize that there's something wrong, and now it's time to grow. Now it's time to change, and now it's time to build. And this is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai realizes at the time of destruction. Yerushalayim is about to be destroyed. And there's a whole story. I'm not going into the whole story. It's a story in Gittin. That there's Vespasian, who's the king. Or he wasn't the king yet. He comes, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai sneaks out of Yerushalayim. There was a siege in Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai pretends to be dead. They carry him out in a coffin. He comes to Vespasian. He tells Vespasian, "You're going to be the king." And he becomes the king. And at that moment, Vespasian is so overcome with joy. Wow, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai told me I'm going to become king. I became king. Wow, he says, "Tell me what you want, I'll give it to you. Tell me what you want, I'll give it to you." He says the following thing. Very famous Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in source number 9. Says he wants three things. Some people very much criticize. Rabbi Akiva criticizes Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai for asking for these three things. But the Gemara says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was right. He says three things. Amar Le, Tein li Yavne v'chachmeo. Give me Yavne v'chachamim. Sanhedrin was with that was the creation of Antipas Gedola, not Antipas Gedola, that was taking place in Yavne. He says, give me those chachamim. Save those chachamim. Don't kill those chachamim. And then he asked for a second thing. V'shoshlisa de Rabbi Gamliel. Give me Rabbi Gamliel, who is the descendants of the Navi, who comes from David HaMelech. Give me that lineage of David HaMelech. And finally, he asked for another thing. There was this big Rav named Rav Tzadok. And he says, give me Rav Tzadok, and I want you to heal Rav Tzadok. Who's this Rav Tzadok? Anybody know Rav Tzadok, who he was? Anybody know? Oh, he starved himself. Beautiful. For 40 years, Rav Tzadok knew that the destruction of Yerushalayim was going to take place. So you know what he did? He starved himself for 40 years. He said, I can't eat. I have to break this decree. And he would eat these little fig cakes. That's all he would eat, a little fig cake every day for 40 years. And he was so emaciated, he was about to die. And therefore he said, give me Rav Tzadok and heal Rav Tzadok. What's Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai doing? These are his requests. This is what he wants. The Beis Hamikdash is about to be destroyed. Can't think of something else. And the truth is, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai understood what was happening and he saved Klal Yisrael. Because in front of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's eyes was destruction. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai could have seen destruction, become paralyzed, stopped, and done nothing. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said is, Klal Yisrael can't stop. A Beis HaMikdash can be destroyed, but the Jewish people have to last forever. Klai Yisrael needs to continue. Klai Yisrael needs to grow. Klai Yisrael doesn't just need to survive, it needs to thrive. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, give me three things. Give me the Chachamim. Give me Torah. Give me Mesorah. Give me Rabbi Gamliel, who comes from the Nasi, who comes from David HaMelech, that's Mesorah. Give me that Mesorah. Because without that Torah, we won't survive. Because we're going to a place of exile. We're going to a place of destruction. But that's just the building. With Torah, Klal Yisrael will survive forever. Klal Yisrael will be able to continue doing its mission in this world, even without a building. Because what he realizes is a very important concept, guys, and this is what we have to remember our whole lives. What was the purpose of Beis HaMikdash? Anybody know? To serve God in a sanctuary. Nice answer. I don't think it's right. I tell you, the Torah tells us. In Source 11, V'asu li mikdash, make me a mikdash, which will eventually become the Beis HaMikdash. V'shechati b'socham. I'll live with you. I'll be with you. I'll have a relationship with you. I'll be one with you. That was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't about a building. If that Chazal point out, wasn't mean v'shechati b'socham, I'll dwell in you. It's v'shechati b'socham, I'll dwell in it, in the building. No, the whole purpose of the Mikdash was to show us the concept that God dwells in this world. And if He dwells in this world, it's not just in a building, it's inside of me, it's inside of you, it's inside every single person that exists in this world. That was the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. And when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai understands this message, he realizes the building will be destroyed, but I need the Shekhinah to still dwell inside of us. And therefore he knows that the tool to do that is Torah. Because what do we know about Torah? We're on the next source, in Source 12. Ki mitzion teitzei Torah, v'dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. What was emanating, what was flowing out of Yerushalayim? That place where God dwelled? Torah. Therefore, you say every day, then the Shemana Esrei, you always connect the building of the Beis HaMikdash with Torah. V'seichal keinu b'sar asecha, v'sham na'avad chabira kimei olam ha'kshanim kamaniyos. Right? Build the Beis HaMikdash, give me Torah, and we'll dwell back in Yerushalayim. Because they go hand in hand. The whole purpose of Torah, don't be confused, the whole purpose of Torah is not knowledge. The whole purpose of Torah is to bring the Ribbono Shel'olam into this world. It's to touch the Ribbono Shel'olam. It's to live with the Ribbono Shel'olam. And therefore Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says that the way that we're going to continue, and the only thing you think about is Torah, because this is how we're going to survive. And that's one way that as we enter this time period of the 9 days and going closer to Tisha B'Av, it's realizing that relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam never died. The building died, the relationship never died. And a way that we connect to that relationship, and one of those ways is through Torah. It's what we're doing right now. How do you rebuild the Beis HaMikdash? That's what you're doing right now. It's by sitting and learning and connecting and growing and becoming a greater person. That's the first step. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. I'm going to get back to Rav Tzadok in a second. I'll actually talk about Rav Tzadok now. Time out, reverse. Okay. Why did he save Rav Tzadok? What's a pshat in saving Rav Tzadok? Anybody want to suggest an answer? Fine, I'll tell you. Rav Tzadok, I think, this is my chiddush, I didn't see this anywhere. Rav Tzadok, I think, was the message that Klal Yisrael needed in order to succeed. He says, save Rav Tzadok, save this person who has literally nothing to him. He's about to die. He's on the brink of death. And I want you to take that person, and I want you to tchiyas ha-meisim. I wanted to bring all the doctors, and the Gemara goes through the whole process, what they did to make him healthy. He became a healthy person. Rav Tzadok became a healthy person. This person is about to die and go to a healthy person. What was the significance of that? I want to suggest that maybe Rav Yochanan and Zakkai is telling Klal Yisrael, look at Rav Tzadok. Look at death. Look at destruction. But I'm going to show you what I will do with death and destruction. I will take that darkness and I'll make light out of it. I'll bring life into this world. Rav Tzadok is the cheerleader of saying from literally death, destruction to life. Which is what the morning is all about. It's not to be dead. It's to become alive. One way to do that is through Torah. Okay, I want to tell you an amazing, amazing, amazing statement that said by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Another statement. Listen to this. In source number 13. Pam achas hay Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai yotze Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai left Yerushalayim. V'haya Rabbi Yoshua holech akrav. Rabbi Yoshua was following him. V'ra'a beis hamikdash charav. He saw that the beis hamikdash was destroyed. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, oy lanu al zeh. Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, oh my goodness, look at this beis hamikdash. It's destroyed. There's nothing left with us. And then he says an amazing thing. There's nothing else that could be mechaper aravonos. And says Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, tells an unbelievable thing. Amar le b'ni, the end of the second line. Al yirelecha, don't be so worried. Yeshecha kapara achas, shikamosa. There is something like the Beis HaMikdash that still exists in this world. So you would think he would say Torah. That's not what he says. Listen to this. Me'eze, what is it? Gemilas chasadim. That somebody who performs Gemilas chasadim is as if you rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash. It's as if there's a Beis HaMikdash right here, there's a Korosh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol goes in that Korosh HaKadoshim, and it brings Kapara to the world. Miss Masada. So what's the idea of Gemilas Chasadim? The whole purpose of the Beis HaMikdash was to be an Or LaGoyim. It was to transform the world. It was to bring God into this world. When you do something kind for another person, you're bringing God into this world. You're saying there's something beyond me. There's something godly in that person and I want to help that person. That person deserves my help. It says, Ki mitzion tetzei Torah. Torah was coming out of Tzion. It didn't stay in Tzion. Yerushalayim wasn't selfish. The light of Yerushalayim went out to the whole world. Because the purpose of a Beis HaMikdash is to transform the world. And therefore, when a person does chesed, you're rebuilding the world. Because you're seeing the world in the true way it's supposed to be. But there's God here. Chavra, I asked, started the shir saying, oh my goodness, how are we going to keep Tisha B'Av? Camp Hask. How do I keep the 9 days in Camp Hask? There's music blasting everywhere. There's fleshiks everywhere. There's swimming pools everywhere. Right? There's everything that's like, it's like anti-9 days, but it's not. Because Chavra, here in this camp, you literally, I'm not saying this to like make you feel good. You are rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. You're rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. That when you do Gemilas Chasadim, that when you're with your campers, you have to realize, I'm not with my campers right now, I am building the Beis HaMikdash. And I think that's the yesod. That the reason sometimes you don't feel this, that you're rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, is because I don't think we look at this world properly. I think in this world, the way that we look at it, it's a camp task, it's fun, it's enjoyable, I'm doing chesed. But if we readjust our eyesight, and instead of saying, right now I'm at a talent show with blasting music and children, I think how we can practically change our 9 days is by stopping and saying, for a second, just stop and say, I'm building the Beis HaMikdash right now. I'm doing Gemilas Chasadim. This is not for me. This is for the Bor Shalom. This is for someone else. As much as I would like to be keeping the halacha perfectly fine, right? Of like sitting on the floor and really feeling the cover, you can feel that. You can feel that if you open your eyes to it. And that's the whole purpose of the 9 days. Opening up our eyes. That instead of seeing destruction, I see an opportunity of growth. Of being able to build myself. It's the same message that Rabbi Akiva, another Tana, saw. The famous story is on Yeshiva World News this week. They said there were foxes coming out. I don't know if everybody's following Yeshiva World News. Yeah, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? You saw it? Yeah. Right? There's videos of foxes running out of like Har Habayit. I'm not sure where it was. It looked like dogs. I was like, whatever. That's besides the point. But supposedly there were foxes running out of Har Habayit. What's the significance of that? Why is that on Yeshiva World News? Well, I guess anything is on Yeshiva World News like these days. But what's Pshat? Pshat is a famous Gemara with Rabbi Akiva. It's the end of Makos. A very, very famous Gemara. I'm not going to read it. It's late. Source 15. You can learn it by yourselves later. But it says that Rabbi Akiva was walking out with a bunch of other Tanayim. And they saw the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And they saw foxes running out of the Makom HaMikdash. A person is not allowed to go into the Makom, into the Kosh HaKadoshim. Right? Into the Kosh HaKadoshim. Holy Kohen Gadol, Aron Kippur, that's it. They saw foxes coming out of there. And they're all crying. And they're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could this happen? And what was Rabbi Akiva doing? He was laughing. And they're all looking like, what, are you crazy? Why are you laughing? He said he paralleled two nevuos that were said. One nevuah said that Yerushalayim will be destroyed. And then there's another nevuah which we are living now in these days. Those of you who were in Eretz Yisrael saw it this year. Those who are going back to Eretz Yisrael will see it again. Those who are coming, you will see it. And I think this is the most amazing thing. A nevuah that's taking place in our days that once again will be old and young people in the streets of Yerushalayim. Says Rabbi Akiva, I'm laughing because until the destruction happened, then I didn't believe the second nevuah that there'll be old and young people once again in the streets of Yerushalayim. But now that I see foxes coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, I'm smiling because I know the second nevuah will be true. Once again, Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. That's the eyesight of Rabbi Akiva, that's the eyesight of Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai, that's our eyesight that we need to have approaching the days ahead of us to say there are not foxes coming out of the Beis HaMikdash. But I can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And this comes only if a person believes in themselves. If you don't believe in yourself, then you'll never rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Nachman says this. Rabbi Nachman says, unbelievable. It's a very famous line of Rabbi Nachman. It's source 16. He says, "L'inyan hitchaskos l'bal yipol ha'adam b'dayto mechmas riba ha'pegamim v'akakulim." That a person, maybe you guys do this. I know I do this. We beat ourselves up when we do something wrong. Right? We beat ourselves up. We say, how could I have done that? And you dwell on your mistake. You dwell on your sin. And says Rabbi Nachman, you have to believe this is the most powerful thing. You just sinned. And you believe so much about your sin and how much it broke. So what else do you have to believe? Listen to this. Im ata ma'amin she'cholim lekalkel. If you believe that you can destroy, then you also have to believe a very important thing. Ta'amin she'cholim lekalkel. If you believe in yourself that you can destroy, then you have to believe in yourself that you can build. If you don't have that vision, you'll never build. You'll stay a destroyed person, a depressed person, a broken person. And Chevra Chazal understood this, and the entire day of Tisha B'Av revolves around this one sentence of Rabbi Nachman. Because if you know the halachos, I brought in source 17, there are many, many halachos that take place at Tisha B'Av. One of the halachos is you have to sit on the floor. You have to sit on the floor until... when? Katzos. Meaning only half of Tisha B'Av you're on the floor. What do you do in the second half of Tisha B'Av? Right, according to the salvation, the mourning should get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. It does until halfway into Tisha B'Av. But why don't you do the second half of Tisha B'Av? You get off of the floor. You stand up again. You know what else the halacha says? You don't say Tachanun at this above. I'm not making this up. If you look at 17, Sivdalit, ain't only Tachanun, velo Slichos, you don't say any Slichos. It's the only fast that there's no Slichos. Right? Every other fast, Hashem, Hashem, Karachun, Vechan, right? It's Tachanun, right? We do all the Slichos. Not at Tisha B'Av. They know the opening air, Mishum Dimikre Moed. Because Tisha B'Av is called a holiday. A Yantif. What? Yeah, it's a Yantif. Because that's how you have to view it. If you know that this is the day that was broken, but this is the day that Mashiach could come, that the Beis Hamikdash could be rebuilt, I could be a part of that. And the Chazal say, if you mourn, if you get to that place of mourning, then you'll see a simcha. Because that mourning will become a simcha. You go from the place of brokenness to the place of rebuilding. And it says a very interesting thing. You don't see a lot of it. All these different things about... It says, V'ein tzarech l'shanos v'komo b'tisha b'av. I bolded it. What does that mean? So normally if you're an avel, you change your seat in a shul. Here it says you don't need to change your seat in the shul. You can sit in your place or sit on the floor. I was thinking that maybe this means that at Tisha B'Av, you don't need to move so much. You can stay in that same place you were walking into Tisha B'Av. If you just make that little change, in the Shalos Malkom, you don't need to change, you don't have to become drastic changes. If you change your eyesight and recommit yourself to the Baruch Shalom, you'll succeed. You'll build a Beis HaMikdash. You need to believe in yourself. That's also what we say. There's the Ale Tzion is one of the most famous kinos, right? We know, you guys remember Ale Tzion? Ale Tzion, right? You know that one? It's based on a pasuk in Yoel, source 18, but if you look at Ale Tzion, it's source 19. It adds two words to that pasuk. This is like the last kino we all say. We stand up after sitting on the floor the whole entire Tisha B'Av. You get up and you sing Ale Tzion. And what do you say? That Yerushalayim is kimo isha b'tzerel. It's like a woman who's giving birth. She has the chevle of the birth. She has the pain, the birth pain. Before a woman's giving birth, she's screaming. She's in pain. She's suffering. We're saying Yerushalayim is like a woman who's about to give birth. She's in that place of destruction. What happens a minute later? She's in a place of simcha. She has a baby. The baby's here. Okay, it takes time to recover, right? And you can talk about it later, but it takes time to recover. But there's the baby's here. That's Tisha B'Av. It's painful. It hurts. But I'm about to have a baby. About the Mashal Sarov says, listen to this, Greek gematria. The Chevle Mashiach, the birth pains of Mashiach, that pain equals, what does it equal? Me'afela la'ora. Going from darkness to light. That's what the birth pains of Mashiach are. It's painful, it hurts, it's destruction. But it's indicating birth is about to take place. Growth is about to take place. It's the greatest... opportunity we have coming up. Yeah, to realize I can't live without Yerushalayim. To get to that place, to really feel that the Shekhinah got hurt. But at the same time, to be filled with simcha. And we're here. Rabbi Nachman says, I don't have time to go through these, there are beautiful Rabbi Nachmans. Rabbi Nachman says that there's a world of a double concealment. Right, like the concealment within the concealment. It says in that place of like the regular world that we live in, it's very, very hard to see God. Kosh Baruch Hu makes it that way. Very hard to see God. Right, I think in the place like Camp Hass, sometimes we say, where is the Ribbono Shel Olam? Like, what is the Ribbono Shel Olam doing? Like, why did he do this as a kid? Right? And I'm assuming that you probably thought of it at some point. It says Rabbi Nachman, it's in that place of the Astara that we are expected to find the Ribbono Shel Olam. It says in our daily routine, when you're talking, the Rambam says this also, when you're sleeping, when you're eating, you have to see the Ribbono Shel Olam. And what you guys, if you could do that here, this is like a little microcosm. Obviously, this is like being here for like 5 hours, like I'm an expert of Haskell now. But it is a microcosm of like our relationship with the Baruch Shalom. If you could find the Baruch Shalom here, you'll find them anywhere. If you realize you could change one person, one kid's life, you can be that Gomel Chassid you are building. You're taking a brick and you're putting the Bishon Mikdash. That's our job. I have more to say. It's getting late. And I'll just finish with that. We know that it's interesting that I think I know that this Yisod is true because Chazal tell us, if you look at verse 25, I'll say it outside, Rabbi Gamliel tells us that, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel tells us there are two happiest days of the year. What are the two happiest days of the year? Nope. Yeah, we asked. Purim is. Well, Yom Kippur and Tuba. You were in my classes. Good. Okay. Yom Kippur and Tuba. Tuba of is the happiest day. People are like, what is Tuba? Has anybody ever heard of Tuba? Yeah? It's a test, but it's the 15th day of Av. So, of course, you've heard of it. But it's the greatest holiday of the year. Many things happen. One of the things that say it happened is that all the people who died, who were supposed to die from Chena Meraglin, finished dying on Tu B'Av. You know what that means? Literally a week after, not even a week, a couple days after Tisha B'Av, is when Chet happens, that's when like destruction happens. A couple days later, the happiest day of the year happens, because that's when all the death and destruction stops. And we celebrate that. Which means that in that same place of destruction, in that same place of darkness, in that same month, Av, the ultimate goal of Av is to get to Tu B'Av, the happiest day in the calendar, of when death and destruction stop. And that's what we daven for every single day, Chevra. End with this bracha. See, every day in Source 26, Brichas Kriya Shema, HaMechadesh V'Tuvo V'Chol Yom HaMimayis V'Reishis. We make a declaration that the Ribbono Shalom is someone who renews every single day. What means is, yesterday I could have been doing the worst chet in the world. Yesterday I pulled the Ribbono Shalom out of this world. But you know what you do every day when you wake up? You say, HaMechadesh B'Tuvo B'Chol Yom HaMimayis V'Reishis. It's a new day. Yesterday doesn't matter anymore. Today is a new day. And you know what you say right after that? You guys know, Or Chadash Al Tzion Tayer, the Nisgeh Chulanu Mehera Lioro. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I see how you change this world in a second. Therefore, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I ask for a tefillah, Or Chadash, a new light should shine from Yerushalayim quickly in our days. Because you realize it could be dark, there could be a mosque on top of the Kosher Kedashim, but just like today is a new day, that or can emerge from that darkness. Because that's what the Jewish people is all about, Chevra. Light that comes from darkness. The creation starts by Erev, by Boker. It starts with night, it ends with day. Think that was an accident? It's telling us how this world works. Chevra, we should be Zocha. To recognize that darkness is all leading to great light. We should be Zocha to realize for ourselves, we can always renew ourselves. That we should realize that we have the ability to build through Torah and through Gemilas Chasadim. And to realize that even though things can look like Choshech, that we really, truly believe, Adi Mami, that tomorrow there will be Or. And we live with that realization. We live with it. Don't think it. We live that way. That we should be Zocha B'Zat Hashem. Hakadosh Baruch Hu should return our eyes to Yerushalayim. He should open up our eyes. Our eyes are closed. They should be open. Return our eyes to Yerushalayim so that we can see Or Chadash Al Tzion Tayer. That we should see that light again. That we should see that simcha. That we should come with all of our campers and Mirz Hashem to be healed, who will be healed, who will come whole, shalem, tibor shalom, together with all of Klai Yisrael, with the whole entire world. Yimheira, v'yameinu, amen.